I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. It's sunny with a high of 34 today. Andy Russell, a low of 14. Good old George Pickens. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Let's go round up a mongoose, shall we? Limits, the Batconian mongoose, Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. In the library once again, the last time this turned fascinating right away when we had Brian blindly reach behind him and pull out a book. Let's do that again, Brian. Reach behind you, just grab a book and tell us what the title is. It's your wife's library, correct? So we might not get a sports book.
It's half and half. We've done this. This is our third round now. The first one was a sports book. Second one was a wife book.
Yeah.
Here's a tiebreaker of sorts.
What do we have?
There's a bookmark in this one, first of all. So
somebody's actually
looks like she may have gotten to page 32 of It Starts With Us by Colleen Hoover.
Is this a marriage counseling type of book, or what's the book about?
Actually, yeah. First line of the synopsis here on the back cover. Lily and Ryle have just settled into a civil co-parenting rhythm with their daughter, Emerson, when Lily runs into Atlas nearly 2 years after they last spoke.
Uh-oh. That sounds like
that's
trouble.
That's going to get dicey.
Yeah,
that is going to get dicey. I wonder if Atlas shrugs.
He might at some point, yes. Very good line, Brian. All right, let's get to Tomlin. What stood out to you?
Oh, man. I mean, kind of wanted Mike to say anything funny or interesting. He had some opportunities, and he's very much on autopilot, I think, 12 hours after leaving the stadium, more or less. So kind of a run-of-the-mill, by-the-book Tuesday presser. A little bit of injury updates. The Derek Harmon thing is nice, but also I think we kind of knew that was the case. And he was being cautious with him. He didn't want to give Rodgers too much credit, I suppose, for the pass catchers waking up a couple weeks ago. Granted, that also dovetailed with Roman Wilson being on the outside looking in. And I guess those were two things immediately that stood out. Jack Campbell, I had a feeling he was going to gush about Jack Campbell.
They had dinner together, apparently. Yeah. Yeah, right. They went out for the old college dinner, Jack Campbell and probably other Iowa guys and Tomlin.
Yep. Jack Campbell, I mean, I feel like the Steelers were linked to him a lot going into that draft. And then the Lions, a lot of people thought, reached for both him and Jahmyr Gibbs. And now you look and Detroit knew what they were doing. It wasn't like Mike Mayock at one point with the Raiders where they were taking guys way higher than the media consensus boards. Or I guess, in fairness, Terrell Edmonds here once upon a time, but the Lions have struck gold with those two.
And the dinner question from the draft always brings up another one, Brian. Do you make a better impression if you skimp on dinner and save the team some money or show some confidence and go for surf and turf, perhaps a bottle of wine and dessert?
I mean, I think, first of all, if you're just giving me the dilemma between those two, I would err toward the latter because I think Mike Tomlin wants to see an alpha male in that setting. And more so than what you order, I think he's looking at how you order it. Be decisive. Know what you want. Don't even worry about whether you're saving them money or costing them money.
Yeah.
Just be the first guy to speak up. Be the captain of the group. I think that's what he wants to see in those settings more than a specific menu item.
Kabali would just order something like pierogies, right? Because he wouldn't want to cost the company any money like he does over at the McAfee show. They give him an unlimited budget and he goes to sheets. They want him to spend more and he won't.
Could be reverse psychology.
Maybe. And then he waded into Carter Country once again today, Brian, and that became the comic part of this is Mike Tomlin and Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette, who does the deep statistical stuff, going back and forth. Let's take a listen to that with Tomlin becoming somewhat exasperated. Limits?
We certainly have gotten better, but you expect to as a leader, and you also expect it to continue.
Is that continuity or big part of the process to when you guys use more 11 personnel when you don't normally, or when you switched from using a lot of single high to double high safety looks earlier in the season?
You jump in size of the ball there. One time you said 11, and then another time you said one high or two high.
Right, but I'm saying on either side of the ball, is that continuity help when it comes to trying to make those switches in season when you guys try to establish an identity?
There's a lot of layers to that question. You're stressing me out there.
Brian, what's happening here? I think Tomlin, I think he has reached his limit, no pun intended limits, with the deep analytical statistical questions. Yes.
First of all, may I suggest Carter County as opposed to Carter Country?
Sure. Carter Country like was a good show once upon a time, but yes, all suggestions welcome.
That.
Yeah.
Carter County has like a grittier feel to it. Like you go across that county line and you're about to get into the world of 12 personnel and duo blocks
yes.
and double A mugs. So, yes, Tomlin was locked up in Carter County for a little bit there. Chris is obviously very good at what he does and knows so much about the X's and O's of it and can break down football with the best of them. I just think Tomlin doesn't really go for it in these settings. I don't think it's what he expects. I don't really think it's what a lot of coaches expect. Like I actually once did, I guess he wouldn't mind me saying this, Pat Narduzzi, when I was on the pit beat one time, did like a chalk talk with us. Like we went in a pit football meeting room and he put plays up on a projector and kind of explained stuff in his defense. And, we were allowed to take notes and obviously ask him questions. So, you know, I think a lot of this would lend itself more to a setting like that, which Mike Tomlin obviously does not do with us. But I think he's getting caught off guard by some of this. And, you know, these are quick back and forths with the coach oftentimes about injuries or a player evaluation or a decision that he made. So, exasperated might be the right word, but I credit Chris for knowing his stuff and continuing to hammer away and it's not for no reason. He's usually writing film study and analyses for us at the PG on this material.
Yeah, Eddie Olczyk did that with us once, and it was uncomfortable because certain people kept wanting to be the ones to ask the questions when Edzo was doing a schematics breakdown of hockey. It felt like we were back in a classroom, and you have certain people who want to ask the questions. You know what I mean, Brian? Who want to step up and say, oh, well, I know you're doing this and this and this, but why didn't you do that? So it became very uncomfortable very quickly. How did the Narduzzi session go? Was Jerry DePaula there and did he ask questions?
Oh, I'm sure he was. Yeah. And I'm sure he did. He probably led the league in questions asked that day, knowing Jerry, and I hope he's doing great in retirement.
But, he is doing great.
Yeah, no, it was
I have an
cool
answer
thing.
For you there. He is doing great. He's substitute teaching, and his wife, Tess, came over to the baseball, the Card Castle in Cranberry on Friday. She came
That's
in.
That's their neck of the woods, yeah.
Yeah, she came in with homemade trail mix and told me that Jerry was substitute teaching that day. How about that?
What age?
I don't know. I think high school kids.
Wow, that is interesting. Hey, I mean, he dealt with 18, 19, 20-year-olds on a daily basis covering college athletics. That homemade trail mix, that's a bit of a curveball at this time of year. Usually it's cookies.
Yeah, I didn't expect it, but I've eaten it. It's delicious.
Peanut brittle. I think for a solid 3 to 4 years of my life, I'd say age range like 5 to 9-ish, puppy chow was my favorite food on the entire earth.
Dog food?
No, you know what I'm talking about? Limits. Puppy chow?
No, I thought you meant dog food too.
It's like
what are you talking about?
It's like the powdered sugar-coated Chex Mix or trail mix. Is
there another word
for that?
Yeah. I've never heard that. Yeah.
I just looked it up. Now I know what you mean. It has like
delicious
M&Ms in it. You can put some pretzels in it.
Sure.
I didn't realize that's what it was called, Brian.
I think I would eat a pound of that a day when I was in probably like how old my son is now or maybe a little bit older.
To be honest, Brian, if I had a suggestion for Tess DePaula, I might have suggested M&Ms in there with a little sweetener, for a little sweetener. But
it was still
Hayward
sweetener.
Really good. Still really good.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your podcast.
Reality Gaze. Let's love!
M&Ms, I think, are pretty necessary. Or some sort of chocolate component, as Mike Tomlin
yes.
would say,
right.
needs to round out any trail mix that you're going to put out there.
It's the best Christmas cookie, Brian, and I think a lot of people believe this. The little chocolate Hershey kiss in the middle of a peanut butter cookie. You know that one, Limits?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very good.
I think it's like a peanut butter blossom, or
yeah,
it's
blossom.
Sometimes
yes.
colloquially known as like a thumbprint, which I think is slightly different, right?
Yeah, a thumbprint is different.
Yeah.
It's like icing sort of with a crater.
Yeah, with a sugar
crater. Crater
best.
Is a good
How
word.
Do you eat those? Do you pop the whole thing in your mouth,
yes,
or do you
yes.
nibble around and
the
then
whole
take
thing.
Down the Hershey kiss?
Yeah. And are you a nibbler? I like to just,
you nibble?
They're great. Yeah. No.
Yeah,
no
you just got to watch you don't stab your tongue with the tip of the Hershey kiss there.
Yeah.
Do you ever eat reindeer noses where it's a pretzel and you put a Hershey kiss on the pretzel and then you put an M&M on the Hershey kiss and you end up putting it in the oven and then you freeze them?
Wow.
I've never heard of that. I've had the M&M in the pretzel for sure, like the little grid square pretzels with the M&M. You can eat about 50 of those
oh, yeah.
in a sitting.
I was in Nashville last weekend, Brian, or maybe it was 2 weekends ago now. I can't remember. And there were two reindeer, literal reindeer, that were being kept in a space that's no bigger than this studio. And my wife and I thought it was very sad to see. It wasn't like the kids were thrilled, but something struck me sad. Reindeer with these giant antlers.
I was going to say, weren't the antlers kind of like unsettling to look at?
They were.
Almost?
Yeah. It was like, why is there an animal where there's like 30 pounds of whatever antlers are made of on top of their head? Why is that natural? Why were they made that way, Brian? And then they're confined into a tiny space and it felt cruel, to be honest.
Well, I think it's an aerodynamic thing for Santa's sleigh, obviously. I mean, they need to be able to fly on Christmas Eve to deliver the presents.
And, fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we went to a light up night parade around here and they had one of those in a pen or whatever. And because you just see it and you kind of expect, all right, it's going to be, you know, a deer with fake antlers or something. But no, those things are legit and they are striking.
Do you think Rudolph could be real? Brian, like with an actual red nose that glowed. Do you think that would be possible?
Rudolph is real, Limits.
He is real, Limits. Why do you question it?
Well, he is real, but then like I really do wonder how could we end up even making Rudolph feel even more further alive, Joe, is what I'm trying
Let
to do.
Let me bring this back to a Steelers topic real quick. Why didn't,
Dry
given
needling?
The time of year,
yeah.
Instead of cast-offs, why didn't Aaron Rodgers refer to his pass catchers as an island of misfit toys?
Yes. That would have been better. Yeah. And
with
then
the Charlie in the box.
Yeah, the Charlie in the box.
And the train with square wheels.
Very sad.
The cowboy that rides the ostrich.
An ostrich-riding cowboy, Brian.
How about the bird that doesn't fly but swims?
That's Marquez Valdes-Scantling for sure. The box guy is Kenny Gainwell, I think. It also was hilarious, the comedic timing of him reeling off these cast-offs, which I hope you have that clip. Maybe you could play it. But, like, he goes, Connor Hayward, he's an afterthought.
Yeah, an afterthought.
Jeez. And then I think it was Brooke who said, well, do you consider yourself a cast-off? No, I'm not a cast-off.
Certainly.
That was like from Curb Your Enthusiasm or something.
And there's some cast-offs if you look at our roster. Which it makes it really special. You know, Kenny Gainwell signed a next to nothing contract. You know, Connor Hayward, an afterthought, had a touchdown run. You know, Marquez been on a couple teams. Adam Thielen got cut.
No one wanted them.
Samuel was on the street for a long time. So
he was learning
about the character of the guys we brought in.
Yeah, Kenny Gainwell's broke. Connor Hayward's a scrub. Nobody wanted Thielen or MVS.
Like, I knew what he was getting at. It was eloquently said.
Yes.
But like, for him to be that candid about it, and then the comeback of, oh, are you kind of in that group too, considering
well,
you
not
were on
me,
the street
no.
for months?
Definitely
no,
not me.
No, I wouldn't say that about myself. No, I'm not a cast off. Just those guys. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good stuff. All right. Are you staying or leaving this week? What's up?
I'll stay.
Good. It's the Batconian.
Christmas cookie talk. Christmas song talk, potentially.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.